Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
I just want to read a couple of verses here out of Romans 12, verse 1. You can pull it out. I know it's the New Testament, so hey. The message I wrote is out of Ezekiel. Dave, you would have liked that one better. Romans 12, watch this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We've baptized so many people. We've had these shirts for years. And it wasn't until one young woman comes in and suddenly I noticed they say transformed on the front. It's just been a long time. I know they've said that all along. And whatever they were. Something in the water. Yeah, that's right. We've had some different ones. But I saw this word transformed, and I was like, oh my God, that's what it's about. That's what the whole thing is about. If you've ever made it, if you've ever made it to the end of our seven values, if you've ever made it through a full heart study, the last one is that we measure success not by a head count, but by transformed lives. I believe that is what it's all about. And so I felt the Lord just kind of tug my heart back to this passage, and I want to just talk through it for a couple minutes here before we go. So we're urged here, right, as the church, by the mercies of God, okay? So it requires his mercy. How many of you know that everything requires his mercy? Another day requires his mercies. That's why they're made new every morning. You needed his mercies today. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, this feels like a very natural thing, except he says, for that is your spiritual service. Present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, for that is your spiritual service. So he's building this bridge between the natural and the supernatural, right? What happens? What takes place? What goes on with our bodies, with our minds, with our lives, with our decisions and our actions and our interactions and our relationships and our jobs? Present our bodies as living sacrifices, right? For that is our spiritual service. Now, there's a part of me that feels like the spiritual thing is not so much where a church like ours struggles. And listen, there are churches, there's like every flavor you could ever find. You can, you know, go to one to the next, and we're all a little different. There's something going on here that's not down the street, and then they've got something. The Lord's doing different things in different places. But in a church like ours, we're a Pentecostal church, all right? And what that means is we believe in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't just think it was something for the New Testament times. We believe that he is alive and his power is in us. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the Spirit that raised him from the dead, is alive in us. So that we can do exactly what he said we would do, that we would cast out demons in his name, that we would open blind eyes and pull people out of the grave, okay? So we have his spirit to do supernatural things. If you struggle with that, you can see Pastor Kurt after class. But here's the deal. I think a lot of us, we're surrendered to the spiritual end of things. And he says, this is your spiritual sacrifice, but the passage doesn't stop there. He says, and do not be conformed to this world. What this means, what is interesting here, it's almost like you can have the first thing and not do the second thing. Remember order? Order in the court, order in the house. So somehow it's possible to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God and fulfill your spiritual service of worship. But it doesn't stop there, because it can't stop there. Because to truly do this requires another step of obedience. to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. Okay, it's interesting, right? Present your bodies, sacrifice as a spiritual service, and then he almost flips the thing around and says, and don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Not your spirit, not your soul, by the renewing of your mind. Wait a minute, we just came full circle all the way back to the natural. Lord, I'm doing the spiritual thing really well. I pray in tongues, you know, I believe in miracles. I've seen miracles. I think sometimes we think that we get one good, hearty, answered prayer and we're like, I'm set, like this is good. I'm doing everything right. And yet somehow, if we're to understand this the way it's written, somehow it might be possible that our lives are laid out before him as a spiritual sacrifice while the natural parts of us are still conforming to the things of this world. And so what I want to encourage us in today, as you watch t-shirt after t-shirt after t-shirt after t-shirt after t-shirt after, maybe you're sitting next to somebody that's still a little wet this morning. I want to encourage you, saints, the transformation that he seeks, it is not just a spiritual thing. In fact, I would charge you with this. The transformation he calls for here is not even something that he has control over. It's put back in the court of your free will, of my free will. I hate that, don't you? How many of you have just prayed this prayer? Lord, change me. First of all, I appreciate the humility. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate the humility, the vulnerability. God, I need to be changed. Transform me, God. I still look too much like the old me. That's frustrating. That's frustrating. My God, if I had a dollar for every one of those prayers, we wouldn't have to take up offerings anymore. Nah, just kidding. We still would. But I do feel like there's something really profound about how this is laid out. First of all, this letter sent to Rome. If you understand Rome during this time, there was so much gross stuff happening in Rome. Rome took Babylon to the next level, okay? Rome looked at Babylon and said, I will raise you Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? It was like in Sodom and Gomorrah and straight up hell, okay? And so what was happening was there was this melting pot of sinfulness and wickedness and evil, and this fledgling church that's trying to rise up in this, they're adhering to a lot of the spirituality of the way, of Christianity, of this new thing that, wait, now as Gentiles, we're welcome to be a part of this too. We knew the Jews were kind of doing their own thing, but you're telling us we can be a part of it? Okay, this is kind of cool. This goes way back. There's history, there's ancient stuff here that's real and good, and it resonates. But all right, let's do this. But what was happening was there was this dichotomy, and we see it in Roman culture, we see it in Greek culture, we see it in American culture today, this separation between what goes in the water and what's kept out. I feel like I'm bricking hard on Taylor because we didn't put your cast in. I feel like you should just dip it in there. Just, I know, yeah, Pastor John taped it up. It's fine. It might just smell a little bit, you know what I'm saying? It might just have a little bit of that, you know, fellowship funk on it, but it's all good. But here's the deal. The transformation that we pray for, the reason why you pray a prayer and the Lord just, wait, why is God not just answering this? Doesn't he want me to be more like him? Doesn't he want me to have more power? Doesn't he want me to be less sinful? Doesn't he want me to not struggle with the things that I used to struggle with? Doesn't he want me to leave the sins of my youth and move on to the new great? And then we start getting frustrated with the Lord because we're the same. But here's the truth. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know whose privilege it is to renew your mind? Yours. You know whose honor and blessing it is to renew your mind? Yours. How many hours do we spend with therapists trying to find renewal, trying to be changed. How many hours of counseling? Listen, I'm a firm believer in Christian biblical counseling. I would never insult the ministry of true counseling. And yet, I think oftentimes we default back to these things because it can't be my job to do this. It can't be me. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've talked about this in years past, and I'll close with this because I love it. I think it absolutely blew my mind. I was at a conference in Warwick or Cranston. Does anybody really know the difference? And I mean, Rhode Island is really just that town at the bottom of Massachusetts. I can't figure out any differentiation. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love Rhode Island. Plantation, whatever it is. Commonwealth. No, that's Mass. Here's the deal, right? Here's the deal. At the end of the day, even science is catching up. Even neurology, neuroscientists are finding that whereas in the past, they have thought that where your mind has been broken, you were just done. Folks who sustained brain injuries or had serious strokes and would lose certain abilities, certain mobilities, they would lose function in parts of their bodies. It was the common belief up until a couple decades ago that whatever you lost, it was just lost. Major medical, thought was that was it. Your brain was, that was it. You had one, and once you wrecked it, it was done. Remember that commercial, "This is your brain? This is your brain on drugs?" Yeah. Listen, there is some new research out of heaven, okay? And it is this: no matter what in your life has been broken, it can be renewed and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Not just your spirit. Not just your spirit, but the natural part of you, okay? And what they're finding is that elderly people who have had serious brain, whether strokes or brain injuries, folks in their 70s, they're finding are actually able to learn to walk again, okay? Crawling first, just like a baby. It's interesting if you think about it. They are transformed by choosing renewal in their minds. So every neurological pathway, there's like a little shock, a little electric impulse that goes from a pulse that goes from one place to another, and it creates a pathway. And the more that you think that way, the more that your mindset and your thought patterns go that way, the more sort of well-traveled of a pathway it becomes. The first time you do an action, the first time you respond a certain way or you choose a certain path, it's like walking through the weeds. I just came back from a bird hunting trip, and we would go through these clear cuts with these high grasses. And you'd walk through it and you'd turn around and you could just kind of see like where the reeds and things were bent over just a little bit. So if you needed to go back, you could kind of just vaguely see, as long as the wind wasn't blowing, whatever, you could see that path. Now you would come into some clear cuts where a few hunters had been through and it was, pushed over a little bit more. And then a few paths and they're pushed way over. And then you go back and forth a few times and this stuff starts to get trodden beneath your feet. And there are some paths that nothing even grows there anymore. And this is the way these pathways work in our minds. The more we think certain ways, the more we pursue certain paths and respond in the ways that we naturally or instinctively would, that trail becomes a four-lane, well-paved with lines and guardrails and streetlights highway. And we begin to think there's no other way. There's no other way but the way I've always done it. And so on that highway, we get on our hands and our knees and we pray, "God, change me. There must be some other way. Show me." Driving, down the same highway. God, there's got to be something better than what we've always known, than what we've always done, driving down the same highway. But I want you to know this morning, saints, that there is an invitation out of heaven to jump the curb, run right through that guardrail, and to blaze a new path, okay? Be transformed by renewing your mind. It is your decision. It is your decision. I don't want anybody driving recklessly out of the parking lot today when you leave here, okay? Because I see some of y'all are getting excited. You're like, yes, I haven't used this four-wheel drive yet in my car. Could we stand to our feet? Be transformed. The Lord wants this for you more than you want it for yourself. The Lord wants change more than you've ever prayed for it. He wants it. And yet, saints, it is your call. He doesn't say, you'll be transformed when I renew your mind. No. He says, do not be conformed to the things of this world, because that is the natural progression. That is the, right, the path that's broad is the path that leads to destruction. But straight and narrow, why? Because it starts with the first decision. It starts with the first declaration. It starts with moving through, plowing through, pioneering through a path that nobody's gone. Maybe you look back over your family and you'd say, but my dad didn't do it. My grandpa, he did it this way. There's a reason. I was born into this path, Zach. But it is a lie of the enemy that you have to take it. There is a new way. There is a new way. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this. So that you may prove what the will of God is. Man, if you know my story, then you know I spent a lot of years, cried a lot of tears, prayed a lot of prayers, got a lot of rug burn, had a lot of altars praying for the will of God. Because the natural path of my mind was this: I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna screw it up. I had seen a lot of stuff screwed up, and that was the path and the pattern I understood. There's a million ways to get this wrong. I'm gonna just pick one of them, or two of them, or three of them. But the outcome's gonna be the same. And so my prayer life, the spiritual part of me, was crying out and longing for the will of God. God, what's your will? I just want to know your will. I don't want to miss your will. And I wasn't even Catholic. But I'll tell you what, saints. It's when I started to choose to believe, when I started to allow the truth of that belief dictate the outcome. It was when I stopped speaking the old thing, the old way, the easy way, the way I had seen well-traveled and done, and began to declare, no, there's got to be a better way. And suddenly, not that suddenly, suddenly but not so suddenly, right away and yet it's still taking place, I began to see the natural part of my life line up with the spiritual truths that had been imparted in me. Take the work out of it. He's given you his spirit so that this doesn't become about striving. It doesn't become about behaving. It doesn't become about not sinning. It becomes about renewal. It becomes about old things being passed away and all things becoming new. It becomes about not just the money that's in your wallet, but every dollar you spend soaked in the transformational water of the Holy Spirit. Every conversation that you have, it doesn't sound like it used to. Why? Because I'm suddenly so sanctified. No, because the sanctification process is the Holy Spirit just convicting you and then you choosing obedience, choosing righteousness, choosing holiness in those areas that you may prove the will of God. Demonstrate the will of God. Express, manifest, make real in your life the will of God. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Listen, this isn't an altar call kind of message. You know why? Because this isn't just another spiritual thing that needs to happen. It doesn't happen, in fact, until you walk out those doors. It doesn't happen until you get ready to go back down the same path and you choose to take an exit instead. That's when it happens. That's when it gets real. That is transformation. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that whatever's been broken in us doesn't have to stay broken. That your redemption story is not just over our spiritual man, but it is over the natural qualities of our lives as well. And so, Lord, we hold these things up to you today. Lord, that you would find in us a story through which to express your will. That we would prove your will. God, I thank you for the spiritual growth and the way that we've grown and matured in the truth of your word and the spirit realm. But God, I pray, Lord, over just our natural lives, the things that happen every day, the things that happen over and over and over again that we wish weren't going the way they were going. God, find in us a resolve. Lord, see it in us and help us to see it in ourselves. A resolve to match our conduct to our true condition. How we love you and we thank you. Oh God of our transformation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Zach and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you and have the best day of your life.